trip back to Victoria for all those in navy blue.
Hello, Adam Peacock with another edition of A Footballer's Life. This one is a beauty. Kenny Attew, who burst onto the scene a couple of seasons ago in the FFA Cup, or to our attention anyway. He'd been building and building at the NPL level, and he finally got his opportunity on the big stage and took it with both hands. Next thing he knew, he was playing with Melbourne Victory in the big leagues. He deserved his opportunity at that level. And since then, he's been trying to get better as a footballer because already he's great as a human being. He's a fascinating chat, both about things on and off the pitch, as life as a footballer. Please enjoy Kenny Attew.
Sneaking into the path of Ellis, Attew, he might be through here, Kenny!
King Kenny, indeed. Kenny Attew joins me right now on The Footballer's Life. Kenny, how are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, man. Just grinding away in pre-season, so, yeah.
As we sit here right now, and this gets rolled out during the season, as we sit here right now, you're midway through your first full-on pre-season as a professional footballer. Yeah. Before we get your backstory, how have you found life all of a sudden as a professional footballer?
It's what I've always wanted. Obviously different to my everyday life that I was doing, just working at a warehouse, lifting fridges. So it's good. I'm enjoying every moment of it.
Well, as we sat in here for this podcast, we had to move a fridge, actually, and I didn't mean it for you to actually do it, but you actually did it just out of habit, was it, or just brought back a few memories for you?
Yeah, I think you weren't using the proper moving technique for the fridge, so I had to help you out.
Yeah, well, it's full, actually. I opened it up, and that could be dangerous for a bit later. You're a professional athlete. You stay away from that,
yes.
But it's a fully stocked fridge. I'll try and stay away from that over the next 20 or half an hour or so. Mate, let's go way back. Your story is fascinating. It's a wonderful, wonderful story. But it all started a long way away from where we're sitting right now, which is in a corporate suite at Amy Park, one of the most beautiful venues in Australia. Yep. It was in a place where you had to leave, your family had to leave because of what was going on there.
Yeah, obviously born in South Sudan. Don't remember much of it when I was younger because I think there was a war going on there, and my obviously family had to move to Kenya. And then obviously from stayed in a refugee camp for a bit, and then we migrated to Australia in 2004. So very different to where I'm from, but very grateful to be here.
Where did the football get introduced in all of this? Was it in South Sudan when you couldn't remember, obviously, but
yeah.
in the refugee camp, where I imagine football would be a big thing?
Yeah, I think in Kenya, actually, in the camp. I think it was around early 2000s or something. Obviously, football was massive in Africa back then. We had African players like Kanu and Okocha, they were doing very well. And, they inspired a lot of, African kids to pursue football as a career.
Do you remember the camp much?
A little bit, there wasn't much there, but, there was enough, for us to live, we had food, had clothes on my back, so, it wasn't the greatest condition, but for me, it was enough.
Was it tense? I can't imagine it.
It wasn't tense, but it was houses that were built. So I remember my uncles and used to make their own bricks and build from the mud. So
yeah.
You kind of build it's like a mud house, and then it looks like a proper house afterward, but there was no electricity. You had to walk. I think they had to walk for about two. My mum, uncles, older sisters, about 2 kilometres to go to, it wasn't a well, but where you pump water, to pump drinking water and stuff like that. So, it was, compared to what I have today, it wasn't the greatest, but it was good.
Why did the family choose Australia? Why did they move to Australia when the choice had to be made?
Sorry?
Why did the family move to Australia?
I think, obviously, for me, my sisters, and brother to obviously have a better future. And also it's for us to, you know, build a life for ourselves. So later in life, you know, we could support the family back home whenever we can, you know. Just kind of learn some things here that hopefully we can one day, I don't know, relay back to South Sudan and help build the country.
Have you still got family back there?
Yeah, so my old man still lives up there.
Yeah.
My uncle. My dad actually has three wives, so all his other wives live up there.
I don't know if that's lucky or unlucky, three times over. I'm not sure. Yeah.
I mean, in a cultural sense, it's normal.
Yeah.
Back home there, you know, there's no big issue to it, but I think obviously, living in a westernized country, you could kind of see.
That's different.
Different, you know. Even me, because I grew up here, I see it as different.
Mm.
Where it's normal, but different at the same time, I guess.
Do you have Valentine's Day in South Sudan? And what does it do with that?
No, sir.
I was going to say.
Yeah. No, sir.
I was just checking if he was.
I think, obviously, with the media reaching all parts of the world, Valentine's Day is. Might be reaching those certain areas, but I think my dad's lucky enough to be in a generation where, I guess,
it doesn't count that much.
Yeah.
You came to Australia. How were those initial stages in Australia? Because we read a lot about what has happened with people who have come from your part of the world to make Australia home, and there's a lot of prejudgment that goes on.
Yeah.
I want to know what life is like coming from where you came from to adjust to a culture like Australia.
For me personally, it wasn't the hardest. I mean, it was tough because we came in winter. I just came from a really warm place.
You were 11, were you? 11,
yeah,
12.
Yeah, it was 11, 12 when I came here. So coming from the heat back in Kenya into the Australian winter, Melbourne winter is horrible.
Yeah.
We stayed indoors for most of the time. But, you know, I picked up football, I think, a couple of months after moving here. I signed for, I think, back then they had the Football Federation Victoria had like these academy setups.
Mm.
And one of my older cousins knew one of the guys that was running the academy, and then he was looking for players. I went and trialed, and you know what, through there I made friends. I didn't just have South Sudanese friends, I had like friends from all parts of the world playing football. So I guess that helped me adjust a bit more.
So yeah, if no football, would you say a lot harder?
Yeah, it'll be a lot harder, you know. I think I think, like you said earlier, you know, the prejudgment, I guess, about the people from South Sudan and stuff like that, you know, it doesn't give a lot of people the opportunity to kind of know and understand the person, you know. And I don't know, I think understanding people is probably the only way we could connect as people, you know. I would have maybe my judgment about someone without knowing them, but until I meet them, you know, I wouldn't know exactly who they are as a person.
Would you say sport as a whole, not just football, but a few months ago, there was the news that the NBL want to go down to southeast Melbourne, where there's a population down there which would really suit playing basketball. I mean, you could have been a basketballer if it wasn't for football. You're tall enough. But what I'm saying is sport has a massive role to play, especially sports with multicultural backgrounds or multinational backgrounds.
Yeah.
Like football, basketball.
Yeah.
Is that a huge thing that really can be invested in?
Yeah, I think, you know, sports is a massive, it's massive in breaking down barriers, you know. You know, you could get people from all different kinds from different countries, you know, different stories. They might have nothing in common, but the sport brings them together, just kind of unites the people, which unites the people that love the sport and watch it as well. You know, I guess it helps bring that unification that I guess you wouldn't get in a everyday lifestyle, I guess.
Back to you, how long did it take for you to feel comfortable in your new surrounds here?
In Australia?
In Australia. Just going to school, everyday life.
It didn't take long because I was young.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about, obviously, the things, about like the hatred or, just, I guess, how people kind of like look at each other, kind of judge each other. I wasn't exposed to that. At that age?
Is it prevalent? Because I'm Caucasian. I walk around mm-hmm. with my head up my backside. Like, I'm yeah. born and bred here. I don't yeah. have to worry about things like yeah. that because I just get on with my everyday life. Do you feel, we'll get on to the football in a moment. Yeah. Don't worry. This is not going to be all about this topic, but yeah. we may as well chat about it now.
Yeah.
Do you feel it? Like, do you feel eyes on you when
yeah,
you're walking
of course.
Down the street?
No, like,
you feel...
I've gone, there's some days I'll be walking down the street and, people will cross the street when they see me.
Hmm.
It's become to that point where, like, for me now, when it happens, it's become like, all right, I expect that. But, at the start, it was a bit hard to kind of, like, understand why this is happening. But, I always say this, I never have anything against anyone that obviously scared or some fear
mm.
about me. It's just, I just kind of feel sorry for them. I don't think they've had the chance to kind of understand, know me as a person and know my story and know me as a person. It used to affect me, but not as much anymore.
What about when you see a politician make a statement on the front page, which it looks like a bit of prejudice just for the sake of saying it to win a few votes?
Yeah,
how does that make you feel?
It's, again, it's disgusting because I think as a leader, you should be trying to unite the people, not divide the people for your own gain, So, it's horrible, but at the end of the day, the politicians say what they have to say. They have to live with what they said. In the future, people understand each other more. The South Sudanese will be here longer. People understand them more, and that politician will look like an idiot.
Let's talk about football, hey? Let's get back to football. Even though you spoke so well about that, when did it start to accelerate for you that obviously you love football,
yeah.
you wanted to be a footballer. When did it start to kick in that it was actually a bit of a chance for you? Was it when you were teenager, or did it take you a while?
It took me a while. I think, obviously, I played in the local competitions in Victoria for a long time. And I think when I was 18, 19, when Melbourne Heart just came out, when Aloisi was actually there, coach of the youth team, I had a one-week trial there.
How'd that go?
Not so well. I didn't get the form call back, so...
What do you reckon happened?
I don't know whether they're a full squad or, no one told me anything. I didn't really understand much back then. I just kind of it didn't work out. So I just have this mentality where, all right, I just have to go back and work again. And, I think after that, I just kept trying to push myself to play at the highest level as possible. So I moved up to the NPL Victoria, the first division with Heidelberg. Initially, obviously, I wasn't playing much there, but once I started playing, I started doing well. And then you get rumours flying around, this person's interested here and there. But for me personally, I don't like to look into those things. I just like to focus on what's happening now. Eventually it worked out with me. Coming here last season.
In preparation for this, I spoke to your old Heidelberg coach, George Katsakis, who relayed the story that he said when you came in, when he got you out of state league, he had a chat to you and said, look, be patient, listen, and it'll happen. It's not going to happen straight away. It will happen. But was there a bit going on as well off the pitch then? There was your mum... unfortunately.
Yeah. So
around that time, was it?
Yeah, I lost my mum around that time. It was, to be honest with you, football was the only thing that kept my head straight a bit.
Yeah.
I just kind of forgot about everything else when I get on the pitch, so that happened. But I spoke with George. I told him exactly what happened, and you know, to be honest with him, it was pretty straightforward with me. He had Daniel Heffernan, who played at Central Coast, and Kane Shepherd, and they were doing very well at that time. So I had to just be patient, which I was, and just, you know, try to be positive, and just wait for my turn.
It came, eventually.
Yeah.
It came.
Sneaking into the path of Ellis, a few, he might be through here, can he?
So there's that great goal again, that great night at Olympic Village. But it changed. So Melbourne Victory all of a sudden interested. Perth Glory were interested because you just turned them over in the cup. So that's probably why they were keen. But why make the choice that you did?
It's more for family reasons. My family is based in Melbourne. I wanted to be closer with the family. And also, you know, I think I felt, obviously, with being in Melbourne, I thought I would get like more time to kind of settle in.
Yep.
Obviously, it was Bess, who was doing very well at that time. He's the main striker. And we were playing in the Champions League as well. So I thought, all right, it's the longest season. I'll obviously eventually get my time to play. So, yeah, those factors led to me picking Melbourne Victory.
So the family reasons you say, because obviously what happened with your mother was a huge shock, and you've got, what was it you were saying before? Six
sisters. Yeah, so six sisters and one brother.
One brother.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to be close with them in times like that, yeah?
Yeah, exactly. You know, family is massive for me, you know. So, obviously, as my career hopefully gets bigger, I'll probably have to move further away. But, you know, I thought at the start of it, you know, I should probably stay close to the family while also trying to pursue my career.
What do they do? They got across all different occupations?
All the young ones are currently studying. So my sister's just about to finish up her nursing degree. One works at a childcare. Actually, so two work at a childcare. My brother's a priest.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's a priest.
Good one?
Youth priest. He's okay. He preaches to me a lot.
Does he? Yeah, what is it? I was going to say, do you listen much? Or?
Nah, not much, to be honest. Yeah, it's just more, he kind of tells me about, like, obviously, the things I should and should do. You know, I listen, sometimes I don't listen, but, you know, it's good to have someone of spiritual essence in the house, which is good.
Keep you grounded.
Yeah.
Keep your head on the ground. Don't get carried away.
Yeah.
So when you come in to Melbourne Victory and you start training, it's the first thing that you have to get used to.
There was a lot, but it was hard on the body.
Yeah,
I thought, because I was used to training twice a week. It wasn't even intense. It was more training. It was just, you just came and did what you had to do. There was no one recording your running stats, or just three or four coaches just watching everything that you do.
You thought you were fit and you thought you were going to
be okay. Exactly. I thought I was fit and I was not. I was nowhere near fit. And you know what? I kept speaking with the coaches, and they just kept telling me, you know, just we'll get you there. Just keep working and we'll get you there. And eventually I did get fitter.
You played against Wanderers, but then you went missing for a while. Did you get injured or what happened there last
season? So I was actually injured before the Wanderers game. Yep. So when I signed, I came with an injury. I had a foot injury. So the only reason I was selected for that game was because we didn't have players. There was the international. So all the players were gone. And so the boss put me on the bench. And then I think when, was it Mitch Austin got a red card? Just kind of looked at Mike, please don't bring me on, because I was not fit. Like, but you know what?
Most people would be jumping out of their skin to try and get on, but you didn't want to do yourself an injustice.
Yeah, that, you know, it was just more that I knew that I wasn't at a level that I was happy to know that for me to be playing, or for that their coaches wanted me to be out here. So the way I looked at it, I was just like, yeah, that was my initial thought. But you know, when I came on, it was surreal, the feeling. You know, I battled in the game, but it was unreal.
But then we didn't see you for a few months.
Yeah.
You injured and...
No, obviously. So after that, I came back, but it was just hard to break into the team.
Yep.
The team was doing quite well. You know, there was a lot of players. We had a big squad last year. So there was, unfortunately, you know, it's the nature of the game. You sometimes get picked, sometimes you don't, but I wasn't getting picked and I was just... You know, just working behind the scenes.
Did you ever knock on the door of the boss and say, why aren't I getting picked? Or you didn't have that fun?
I just... Obviously, there's some days I went up to him. And I'm like, boss, you know, just kind of ask how I'm progressing. Because I myself, I kind of understood that I came from where a non-playing environment to a professional environment. I knew it was going to take time, so... you know, I just kept asking, you know, how am I going? And it was just, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, just keep working. Just keep working. You'll get your chance.
It was that cool night at the Champions League. We were watching back in the studio. Was it you had a few chances there. You were involved. But you looked like the more times you played in that Champions League, the acceleration of improvement was huge. Was that purely down to the fact that you've actually felt sure of yourself at this level? It wasn't anything physical, it was mainly mental that you're feeling comfortable.
Yeah, more mental, but for me personally, it was comfort. Getting comfortable where, you know, it's just at the start, you know, when you came on, it's just initially just rushing, everything's going a million miles in your head. you know, you just kind of like, I wouldn't say not believing myself enough. I mean, I do believe in myself a lot, but I was just, you know, you just have to get this few...
But in the right way.
Yeah,
you know, that's a right
few touches at the start to just kind of get your confidence up. And then after that, you know, once you feel good, you know, you just start to express yourself a bit more, which, yeah, I thought I was getting, expressing myself more in towards the end of the season.
Do you miss Bessart?
Of course. You know, it's a character to have around the changing rooms. It was good to have him there. You know, it's just he's a winner. And I was here as his understudy when he was here, and I felt like I learned a lot of him. So,
yeah. I bet intensity.
Yeah, you know, it's quite intense. You know, but I think
on the pitch, he was all right off the pitch, but on the pitch, I saw him in training. Yeah. My goodness, far out.
Yeah, intense character, but you know, he's a real winner. That's one thing you can't take away from him.
Where do you see your football taking you?
You know, I like to go as far as I can. So my current I like to focus on, obviously, my current situation. And I love to score quite a lot more goals this year than, obviously, I did last year. So my target at the moment is to score as many goals as possible. And that's where my doors open up. So, you know, the sky's the limit. That's the way I look at it. But for me, I like to focus on the now.
With doing what you do for a living, do people back from South Sudan, I don't know what the television rights deal is in through Africa, have they seen you play on television? That they're obviously across it with reports and you talk to them, but have they actually got to see you play?
No, not. It's more on the social media things. So they'll see maybe highlights, videos, but live, I don't... not in South Sudan at the moment.
They got other things going on.
Yeah. They're
trying to get pay television into the place.
Yeah, you know, like get all the proper perks of, I don't know, just get all the things that they need, I guess.
Yeah. Do you support your family as well, or back home?
Yeah, so obviously support, send a lot of stuff back home. I put, so one of my brothers over there. I'm putting him through school currently, starting to be a lawyer. He's in Kenya.
Yep.
So supporting him with that, and obviously support their family financially as well, with whatever needs they need.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's he'd be appreciative of that, especially when he graduates and becomes a lawyer and he can look after your contracts.
Yeah, something like that. You know, I think, but it's like, I guess we're just very family oriented. So me helping them is basically me helping myself, in a way.
In a way.
Yeah.
Well, mate, good luck with it all. Look forward to seeing what you can roll out this season. And yeah, as you say, who knows where it could end up. Kenny, thanks for your time, mate.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.